Good morning, good morning. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Chafalaf, we're in the second parak of Erevin. Continuation of yesterday's discussion regarding the Pasei Beiros. We went over yesterday more questions that Abai asked from his Rebbe Rabba, and then we went on to a general discussion in terms of what exactly is created by Pasei Beiros. And the Gemara yesterday said Rosh Hashiachid. Rosh Hashiachid is created by Pasei Beiros, which would allow one to draw water and feed his animal the water on on Shabbos as they're traveling up to Yerushalayim and stopping on the way over Shabbos. The continuation of the Gemara yesterday talked about Rosh HaVeruba. The head and the majority of the animal has to be within the structure of the Pasei Beiros, which, as we learned yesterday, means that there has to be minimum 2 amas between where the Pasei Beiros is set up and the actual entrance of the well, so that the animal can get all of his head and the majority of his body into the area of the Pasei Beiros. What if you hold the animal? So yesterday the Gemara had a discussion that perhaps maybe then it doesn't have to be 2 amas if you're holding both the bucket and the animal. We'll talk a little bit more about that over the course of today. We are on Chaf Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud and Tashma. The Gemara continues on this discussion. It's about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The first words on the line is L'Rishus HaYachid. Tashma Gamal Shavarosh HaVeruba Mibifnim Ofsin Osa Mibifnim. The Gemara says that if you have a camel whose head and the majority of his body is inside, so you could force feed the camel. Now, this shouldn't sound so foreign. We talked about force feeding the camel back in Shabbos when we talked about feeding all types of animals, but there we talked about force feeding the camel. In fact, one of the things on Shabbos that you can't do, generally speaking, is force feed. You can only feed, but not force feed. Anyway, and force feeding is usually done to prepare them for the long trips. But in the meantime, however, as far as Pasei Beiros are concerned, so Ovsin Mibifnim, you can force feed from the inside. You take a look at the short Tosfos on the bottom that talks about how, generally speaking, Ibus is not permitted on Shabbos. But in the meantime, however, just sticking with the main point, the larger point of our Gemara, so the Gemara assumes, look, if you're oves, you're force feeding, so that's a very physical action, so that requires you to both hold the bucket and hold the animal. So basically now you're holding the animal and the bucket, and still I need the majority of the animal inside of the parameter. You could say, as a distinction, well, maybe the camel's different, it's got a very long neck, and so therefore, in that case, you have to hold both bucket and animal, but maybe, under normal circumstances, I don't need to hold both bucket and animal, just simply the bucket. Tashma, the Gemara says, how about this? Behema shirosh v'ruba mibifnim, ovsim osa mibifnim. If the animal's inside, but only if the animal's inside, so then what you could do is you can hold and force feed the animal. The haivas come on, denakit manav, denakit la, v'kabin rosh v'rubo. Again, the same diuk. Sounds like by ibus that, once again, you're holding the animal, you're holding the bucket, and only if the majority of the animals inside the perimeter are you allowed to feed it. So my behemah nami diktani gamal. So the Gemara says, fine, but you know, it was in that braisa, when it said behemah, it really means camel. The hatanya behemah. Gemara says, small problem. It doesn't say camel. The hatanya gamal. And not only that, but we have 2 braisas. 1 braisa that talks about behemah, and the other braisa talks about gamal. So can't you make now an argument that 1 braisa is not talking about camel, especially when there are 2? So the Gemara says you're assuming that there has to be agreement between the braisas, or the braisas are coordinated. That's not necessarily so. Meaning 1 braisa could be talking about camel. 1 braisa will say the word gamal, and the other one will say behema. There's not necessarily coordination amongst the braisas. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara supports this as well with the braisa. Rav Elazar osa begamal hovetzavar aruch. Rav Elazar prohibits the use of a camel, since its neck is so long. So you see that there's a distinction, a fundamental distinction between camel and all other animals, because the neck of the camel is so long, so therefore there is a legitimate concern that the animal will just simply withdraw its head from the well, bringing the water outside the parameter, and so therefore you see at least that the camel is fundamentally different. Okay. So far, so good. So discussion in the Gemara, whether or not the while the animal's within the parameter of the pasei beros, you have to be holding on to the animal. And now we get on to discussing some larger points. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Abba lo hutru pasei beros ela lo ole regalim belvad. So the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yitzchak that this heter of pasei beros is only for those who are ole regal. Okay, and Rashi told us this in the beginning of the parak, but here the Gemara spells it out, that the Chachamim only allowed this type of Rishus Yacha to be created only when you're en route to Yerushalayim to do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Right, we're in the middle of Pesach, so Bizmanenu, we're going to be able to do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So only under those circumstances. Now, as you're going to see later on today's daf, the truth of the matter is that it may apply to other mitzvahs as well. In fact, I'll show you Rashi later on this morning who's going to say that. But in the meantime, however, I mean, the Gemara Kipshuto really does seem to limit it only to the mitzvah specific to Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, I'll show you the Rashi later on. So, V'hatayin lahutru pasei beros ala gabe behema bavad. We have another statement that says that the pasei beros was only for animals. My behema behemas ala regalim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's no discord between the two brisas. They're both describing the same thing, just from different perspectives. When it says that pasei beros is only for animals, it means animals being brought to Yerushalayim for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. That doesn't mean, of course, that your animal has the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. It means that when you're Ola L'Regel, most probably you're going to be bringing animals with you. A, because you need karbanos, and so therefore you're bringing your karbanos in tow. And B, because when traveling, you just simply need animals. Either way, you're probably going to have animals. So, Aval Adam, but interesting now. So here now, we're in an entire perek talking about the heter pasei beros, which now, as we're learning, means that when you're walking en route to Yerushalayim, and you're doing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and you're stopping on the way in Shabbos, so now you could create this Rishus HaYachid, which under normal circumstances is not allowed, right, brackets in all four corners, in order so that you could water your animal. But now the Gemara is going to tell us, but only your animals, not you. You can't enjoy the heter of pasei beros. The Gemara says, of Adam, mitapes va'ola, mitapes Viore. You got to go into the well. Meaning what you can't do is you can't draw from the well into the parametered, encircled area of the pasei beros. Okay. and so the Gemara says, is that really true? V'hama Rav Yisrael, v'hama Rav Yehuda, v'shmo lahutra, pasei beros, ela ber maim chaim belvad. So the Gemara says, well, here's the part I don't understand. Meaning, we have this discussion in the very beginning of the parak. We talked about the different types of water sources where you could do pasei beros. There's one opinion that says that you can only do pasei beros for ber mayim chayim, natural spring water. So the Gemara says, so if we're talking about ber mayim chayim, v'ila behema mali chayim mali mechunasim, who cares? Meaning, if we're talking about animals are not that discerning in what they need to drink. Ber mayim chayim, if you and I need to drink, we're going to look for ber mayim chayim. If your animal needs to drink, the animal's not going to be that discerning. So whether or not it's running water or whether it is still water, collected water, which usually isn't that pleasant, but for your animal doesn't care. Why would the halacha require, or why would the halacha limit the pasei beros for only ber mayim chayim? So the Gemara says, so be'inan midat dechazel adam. Okay, the Gemara answers very simply, look, you're right, but we need something fit for human consumption, even though it's primarily, or not even primarily, singularly only going to be for your animals and not going to be for you. Yeah, so Gufa, I don't have a direct answer, but let me answer indirectly. Gufa lohuchu pasei beros ela behema bavad v'adam metafes v'olam metafes v'yared v'im hayu rechavim afilo adam nami. So the Gemara then qualifies this and says the following. Let's say you're at risk, meaning the well over here is an extraordinarily wide well. You dropping yourself into the well in order to get water and coming out of the well might actually propose a risk to you. So the Gemara says, then it's not necessary. Meaning, im hayu rechavim, if the well is wide, afilu la'adam nami, so then you could draw from the water itself and transfer the water from the well into the enclosed area of the pasei beros. Okay, so I don't know. In other words, I understand that there's limitation over here, but it's still a little bit difficult to understand why only your animals, not you. It's a little bit tricky, but You don't have to, not at risk. You don't have to risk yourself in terms of going down in the well. And then the Gemara quotes this Braisa, and the Braisa also gives another interesting qualification, which is the following, that when you draw water for your animal, so don't give the water to your animal. Don't do that, but pour it in front of your animal and let your animal drink. So Maskevla Rav Anan. So Rav Anan says, can we think about this last point for just a moment? In Kain Maho Le Pasta Be Ros. So what are you going through all the trouble for? Meaning you're not even feeding it to your animal? Yeah, so why did you do that? So the Gemara says, first of all, Ma'awil Alamalos Mehen. Well, first of all, without the Pasta Be Ros, I couldn't even draw the water up to begin with. Because remember, the wells are Rishos Yachid, the surrounding areas are Rishos Rabim. Without Pasta Be Ros, I couldn't even get the water out of the well. So first of all, it allows me to get the water out of the well. Elamaho Rosh of Aruba Shalpara. The Gemara says, that was my question. My question goes like this. Remember, one of the halachas we said in terms of determining where to put the Pasei Beros is, it has to be at a minimum distance from the well of 2 amos to allow the animal's head and majority of the body to be inside. If I'm not directly having the animal drink right after I draw the water, so why that halacha? So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi, Hacham and Ma'iskin." So the Gemara says, "We're going to go back to yesterday's daf. You're right. Meaning, am I allowed to feed the water directly from the well to the animal? Absolutely. This halacha we just learned, right? Don't feed it to your animal, but pour it in the trough. So the Gemara says that's talking about a very specific case. What specific case? Go back to yesterday's daf. Avos ha'omid b'roshos rabim gavoh asar v'rochav arba'a v'roshos nichlas b'ben apasim v'chulei. The Gemara says, look, it's yesterday's daf. It's not like 5 days ago. Like, you remember what we said yesterday, right? Very intricate case yesterday that we had where the animal was in an enclosure and that enclosure encroached on the Pasei Beros. And what you could have done is you could have drawn the water from the well in a bucket. You could have held the bucket over the Rishos HaYachid, walked it over to the animal, and then gave it to the animal to drink. The reason why the Chachamim didn't want you to do that, this is all yesterday's daf, is for fear that you may put down the bucket, see a little problem with the trowel, fix the trowel, pick up the bucket, and what you're going to end up doing now is transferring from the Rishos HaRabim. When I put down the bucket, I put it down in the street. When I pick it up, I'm going to be bringing it back into the Pasei Beros. So therefore, I'll be transferring from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. In that limited circumstance, yeah, don't feed the animal directly. Simply pour it into the trout. But under normal circumstances, of course, you can give the water to your animal directly. Okay, so let's just pause for a moment. Let's breathe for a moment. Okay, so the Gemara now has basically taught us that this halacha, Pasei Beros, is only for Aliyah L'Regel, and a further limitation is that primarily it's for your animal, it's not even for you. If you can, you should go down into the pit, into the well, and get the water without transferring the water from the well into the enclosed area of the Pasei Beros. But the Braisa points out that you don't have to put yourself at risk, but that's really what you should do. It's really for Aliyah L'Regel, and it's really for your animals. That's the main heter of Pasei Beros. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, let me just give a quick introduction. We're going to be talking a lot over this Masechta about the idea of Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos means that on Shabbos I can't go beyond a certain limit. We're not talking about carrying, we're simply talking about walking. If I have a city limit, I can't walk past the city limit. Now, we live in very populated areas, so for us, Tchum Shabbos really is not going to have an impact. I can walk from here to Miami Beach and see residential areas on the way, all the way down, and it's a 50-mile walk, which, I mean, obviously we wouldn't do. But the idea that there's city limits, and beyond city limits there's nothing, so you really have to be rural. You have to be out of town. And I know sometimes we think we're out of town, but we're really not. So if you're in a rural area, and there's a town, and there's nothing past that town, on Shabbos, you cannot walk outside of town more than 2,000 amos. Okay, we're going to spend a lot of time over the course of this Masechta talking about how to circumscribe a city, how exactly we make the city limits. Okay, we're going to be doing a lot of zoning, a lot of surveying, so that's coming up later in the Masechta, but just right now the basics, and that is that you're not allowed to walk 2,000 amos beyond the city limits. If you're not in a city altogether, meaning if you find yourself deserted in the middle of nowhere, so then 2,000 amos from where you're standing. Okay. Now, in terms of extending the city limits, it's possible it could be done with a simple house. Meaning, let's say on the east side of a city, what I do is basically the houses end off the city, and then there's another house. And let's say that house is within 70 amos and two-thirds. Where'd I come up with that magical number? We'll see later on the Masechta. So the house is within 70 amos and two-thirds of where the city actually ends. That can extend the city limit, where now I can draw the entire eastern border, now not flush with where the city is, but flush with where that one house is. And the truth of the matter is I could do that with another house, and another house, and another house, and as long as each house is within 70 amos of the house next to it, proximate to it, so then I could keep extending the city limit, and I could draw out the city limit based on just simple houses. What if it isn't a house? What if it's just a hut? So as we're going to learn later on together in the Masechta, even for a hut, generally speaking, that would work as well. As long as it has some sort of occupation, as long as it's somewhat residential, even a hut can be used to extend the city limit. This is a halacha known as burgenin. Okay? I say all that by introduction. Now let's see the Gemara inside. Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav ein burgenin bebavel. This halacha of burgenin, that a simple hut can extend the city limit so that you only start counting your Tchum Shabbos, your 2,000 amas, from the hut, that doesn't apply in bavel. And the halachas of pasiberos don't apply in chutz la'aretz. Okay, now let's do the Rashi. Interesting Rashi over here. So Rashi says, Before I get to Rashi, so burgenin mebavalo dishchichi bitke. So as far as burgenin is concerned, the problem is as follows: a lot of flash floods in bavel. So bavel is very, very irrigated. Two rivers, two main rivers running through it, fertile crescent. So what you experience in Bavel very often is flash floods. So if you have a house, probably can withstand a flash flood. If you have a burgenin, can't handle it. The burgenin is going to get washed away. So I can't point to the burgenin in Bavel and say that's going to extend the city limits, because truth be told, that house, that hut probably won't last the next flash flood. Pase bayras bechutzar is low, delosh chicha mesifta. Now here it gets interesting. Why can't I make pase beros and chosaritz? Now, if I didn't know anything more than what we've learned up until now, I would have given a very simple answer, because there's no aliyah l'rego. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that there is no pase beros and chosaritz because there's no mesifta. There's no yeshiva. Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. The lo shchichi mesifta, Rashi, lios talmidim hochem me'ir le'ir lomo Torah. Because what you don't have in chutzarts is you don't have this idea of young men going from one yeshiva to another yeshiva. There's no traveling across town, across countries to learn in yeshivas. And then Rashi writes, "Upase be'aros lo hutru ela la'ole regalim ulechayot ve'behan shahochin ledvar mitzvah." So then Rashi says, and you know this whole idea of pase be'aros, it allows me to set up shops so that I can draw water, both for Aliyah L'Regel and similar mitzvahs, related mitzvahs, says Rashi, like learning Torah. Learning Torah, also another mitzvah, and, right, one of the most important. And meanwhile, because there is no traveling in Chutz Arutz from yeshiva to yeshiva, so therefore you cannot set up the Pase Beros. Certainly sounds like from Rashi that even for other mitzvahs other than Aliyah L'Regel, one can set up the Pase Beros. Now, and to that point, let's go back to the Gemara, because really the Gemara is going to spell it out, about Ibcha Avdinan. But I could reverse that. Meaning, notice what we're contrasting over here. We're not trying to contrasting Chutz Arutz and Eretz Yisrael, we're contrasting Chutz Arutz and Bavel. And basically the opposite would be true. Let's plug that in. It means burgenin would extend the city limit, in Bavel it won't because of flash floods. Anywhere outside of Bavel, meaning anywhere else in Chutz Arutz, burgenin will work. The huts would extend the city limit because there are no flash floods. And then Pase Beiraus, we said no in Chutz Arutz, which means that we're going to say yes in Bavel. In Bavel, we could set up Pase Beiraus. Why? Because as we know, in Bavel there are many yeshivas. And young men are traveling from one town to the other town to learn. They're moving from the yeshiva of Narda to Sura, from Sura to Pumbedisa. So in other words, there's a lot of traveling, so therefore you could set up the Pasei Beros. So, comes out from our Gemara, that even though the Gemara said on the bottom of the Amud, that the mitzvah of, or the heter of Pasei Beros is only limited to Alila Regel, now from this Gemara it seems like not just Alila Regel, but Alila Regel and any similar type of mitzvah, which only from the context of the Gemara from Rashi, I could clearly identify as Talmud Torah. Ikedamri, the Gemara now has the same discussion, slightly different format. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, I'm Rav Ein Borgenim Upasi Baros, Lo Bebavav Velo Bechus Aretz. So here, this version has it that I cannot set up Pasei Beros nor Borgenin, neither in Bavel nor in Chosaritz. Borgenin, Bavelo, Deshchicha Bitgei. Now, as far as Borgenin and Bavel, flash floods, the hut won't last. Bechosaritz Namilo, Deshchicha Ganave. Now, what about outside of Bavel? If flash floods is not the issue, if flash floods is not the issue, you know what the issue is? Theft. People are going to come and simply steal the huts. Pasei Beros, Bavelo, Deshchicha Maya. Now, as far as Pasei Beros, so in Bavel, where there's plenty of water, water's not going to be an issue. Meaning, in theory, yes, because we're going from yeshiva to yeshiva. So you have the mitzvah allowance. I just don't have a need, because everyone has water. But b'chutz ha'aretz nami lo d'lo shchicha misifta. And in chutz ha'aretz, yeah, water may be an issue, but you don't have the heter. Because the only if it's a mitzvah, and the mitzvahs are Aliyah L'Regel, Lima Torah, and you don't have either of those in Chutz Haaretz. Amle Rav Chista Le, Mari Berei Derav Huna Berei Derav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amre Isasumi Barnash Lebei Kenishta De Daniel. You know, I noticed that you walked from the city of Barnash to the shul of Daniel. Now, we're talking Amoraim over here, so this is hundreds of years after Daniel lived. Daniel lived Bain, the Chorban Bayis Rishon, the Chorban Bayis Sheni. We're talking about now, he lived in Bavel, but now we're talking about the period of the Amorayim, which is an entire temple later, and then some. So 500, 600 years after Daniel, but meanwhile, they had pointed to a shul in Bavel, and they said, we know Daniel Davin at the shul, so it was therefore it was called Beit Knesset Daniel. But here, the problem is as follows. Talsa, Dahavi, Talsa, Parse, B'Shabasa. You walk three parsa, every parsa is 4 mil. So you walk 12 mil to get to that shul, right? Every mil is 2,000 amas. So we have a small problem. You're walking too far to get to that shul. You're walking beyond Chum Shabbos. How could you do that? So Amai Fem Chidah, Borgenin. Now, what do you think? You think the huts are extending the city limits and your allowance to walk beyond Chum is because you're not walking beyond Chum? Because really those huts are extending. But we have the statement made by Rav, which is that Borgenin have no legal status out in Bavel because of the flash floods. So you can't point to the huts and say that's extending Chum. So the Gemara says that, well, he went down and he says, you see, what you didn't notice is that there are little small towns, Amas Vasa. Rashi points out, not only were they small towns, but they were kind of like run-down towns. Rashi writes, Ayaros Charevos, Vinisharusha Mechitzos Menabatim. They were kind of run-down towns, not even inhabited anymore. Houses are still intact. The Amrin and Asim of Barakates of Marvin, and we're going to get to this later in the Masechta. Nefesh al Nifritsu Dahino Mitzvahs Kever, Mitaberis Imair Vafa Pishenu Bais Mamish. Sorry. I feel like a Bais Mamish. We're going to learn later on that there are basically remnants of a city that could also extend the city limits. So you're right. The Borgenin are not going to be able to extend our city limits, but these rundown little houses, rundown little towns are able to extend our city limits, and that's how we get all the way to the shore of Daniel. Okay, Adkan. Okay, and when I say Adkan, meaning that is the end of the halachic portion of today's daf, and from here forward we go back to Agarata. Second parak, Pasei Beros, which is not very halachic. In fact, we just learned from today's daf Not at all. Halach l'maisa, certainly not outside of Eretz Yisrael. And even Eretz Yisrael, without Aliyah Larego, maybe Talmud Torah, but not a lot of Halach l'maisa. But we do get to also get to see a lot of Agadata. We already saw a lot in the beginning of the Perek, and now as we enter into the remainder of today's daf and the beginning of tomorrow's daf with more Agadata. Amar Rav Chista Darish Mari Bar Mar Mai Dechsev. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Lo sichle reisi kates rachava mitzvasech ma'od." I was not able to see any type of end. Your mitzvahs are extraordinarily wide. Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yutes, longest perek in all of Tehillim. I mean, longest perek in all of Tanakh. So, 176 psukim. So, Davar Zamru, Davar Velo Pirshu, Amru Iov Velo Pirshu, Amru Yecheskel Velo Pirshu. Now, we're trying to give some sort of linear measurement to Torah. Now, remember, we're in Agadata right now. So, Gemara is over here intended to be understood on so many different levels. All I'm going to do is read the Gemara and translate, and then I'll let you research on your own in terms of what are the possible meanings of the Gemara. But we're going to try to give some sort of linear measurement of Torah. Achaba Zechariah ben Ido upirshu. And you know who actually gave a linear measurement of Torah? Zechariah did. Amru David velo pirshu dichsev lachol tichla reisi kates rachva mitzvosech ma'od. So David is trying to give some sort of linear measurement to Torah. It's too wide. He couldn't get it. Amru Iyo velo pirshu dichsev arucha me'eretz mida v'rachva mineyam. It is wider than the land. It's broader than any sea. He also couldn't do it. Amru Yecheskel velo pirshu dichsev v'yifrosos alifanai v'hi ksuva panim v'achor. So here now we get some description of Torah. It is in front of me. Yecheskel has this vision. And it's written on the front, it's written on the back. The cost of Allah, kinim vehegavihi. And on it, there is kinim from the word kina, lamentations, hega, rejoicing, vehi, there's woe. And the Gemara goes and explains each three of these aspects of Torah. Kinim zupanir shal sadikim olam azeh. So kinim, kina, so that's a misfortune to sadikim in this world. Okay? Echa, right, as an example, which is a kina. I mean, that's a lamentation. So that is the woes that the tzaddikim experience in this world. V'cheinu amar kinahu v'konaneha. Hege, the second thing mentioned in the pasuk in Yechezkel, Hege, the Gemara is going to translate as rejoicing, zumatan tzchar shal tzaddikim lasid lava. V'cheinu amar alehi gayon b'chinor. Okay, that pasuk and Tehillim we're familiar with. V'hei, and finally the last aspect, or v'hi I should say, the last aspect of Torah as Yechezkel is describing it, We'll just translate it as woe, which almost sounds the same. Zuu pranisam shal rishayim lasid lavo. So that's a reference to rishayim in the world to come. V'cheno omer hova al hova tavo. Right, Tosfos just quoted that pasuk recently when talking about how adding a letter can destroy the Torah. Ad sheba Zechariah ben Ido upirshu. So each one of these, the David in Tehillim, Eov in his sefer, Yecheskel and his sefer, each one of them tries to give some sort of linear measurement to Torah. None of them can really wrap their heads around it. Zechariah can. Zechariah ben Ido pirshu dichsiv vayomer elai ma'ata roeh v'omer ani. So this is Zechariah and his nevuah, and this is how he's describing Torah. Roeh megila afa. I saw a megila that was folded over. Arka esrim ba'ama v'rachva eser ba'ama. So it's 20 by 10 amas, which, by the way, is the entrance to the Heichal. Okay? I somehow think I'm giving off a clue, but I'm not really hiding anything. I don't know anything more than that. But it's, I'm sure, no coincidence. V'chi pashata le'havilei esrin be'esrin. So now we know it's folded over, so we're going to unfold it. So it's 20 by 10, so 20 by 10 unfolded, now it's going to turn to 20 by 20. V'ksiv ha, v'uksiv hi ksuva panim v'achor. Now, on this parchment, it's written both on the front and on the back. Now, I know it's probably important to know the font size, but that information is not going to be divulged. But it's written, panim v'achor, it's written on the front and the back. V'chi kalaft alei kama havi. So now, if we were to unpeel it, so in other words, we would expose both sides facing us, arba'im be'esrin. So now it's 20 by 40, which, by the way, happens to be the entrance of the ulam. Once again, I'm hint-dropping, but again, I don't know anything more than that. Uksiv mimadad b'sha'alo mayim v'shamayim b'zeres tikein. So we have now, again, this is, we're in the world of Agadata right now, so we're not even scratching the surface. But we have a linear measurement of Torah of 20 by 40, meaning it started by 10 by 20, it was folded over, so it turned into 20 by 20, and then because it was written on front and back, so now we don't unfold it, but we kind of peel it so that it's totally exposed. So now in totality, it's 20 by 40, okay, which is 800 square amas. And then the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Mimadal b'shalom mayim v'shamayim b'zeres tikein," that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens, so He measured it with a zeret. Okay, we measure zeret with the distance from the thumb to the pinky as it is spread out, like so. So that is kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding. That is the measurement of Shemayim to Aretz from a Kadosh Baruch Hu standpoint. Nimsa kol ha'olam kulo, echad mishlosha alafim umasayim b'torah. Now, the 20 by 40 amos, we're going to assume not our amos, meaning, right, human amos, a foot and a half to 2 feet, but ama over here means an ama of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, anthropomorphism over here. This is only meant as a way of having us have some sort of concept, some sort of idea. So, if Shamayim Va'aretz is a Zeres, and Torah is now not just one Amma, but 800 square Ammas, so then Amma Rav Chista, Nimsei Kol Alam Kulo, Echad Mishlosha Salafim Umasayim B'Torah. So that means that the entire world represents only but one of 3,200 of Torah. Adkan. Okay, I can't explain any better. I can't explain any more. That's as good as it's going to get for me at least. Amar Rav Chista Darish Mar Bar Mar Mai Dichsev V'Hinei Shnei Dudani Tanim Moadim Lefanai Hechal Hashem Hadur Echatenim Tavos Maod Kitaine Habichorot V'Hadur Echatenim Raot Maod Asher Lo Tochena Marua Tanim Atav. I'm sorry, Marua. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu describing figs. Okay, everything here is Bederech Mashal. So there are two types of figs that are being described in this pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Te'enim Tavot, good figs, and Te'enei Marot, Ra'ot, bad figs. The Gemara goes on to explain this piece of Agadata, or what the Mashal actually is. So, Asher, Echa Te'enim Ra'ot, Ma'ot, Asher, Lo Tochlan, Maru'a. Te'enim HaTavot, Eilat Tzadikim, Gemurim, or an Amud Beis, with 3 lines from the top. So the Te'enim HaTavot is referring to the Tzadikim Gemurim. Te'enim HaRa'ot, Eilu Rishaim Gemura. V'shem HaTamar, Avat Savram, Uvatel Sikuyam. Now, maybe you'll say that their hope is going to be shattered. That is the Rishaim. And they won't have any chance of Sikui. Both of them are going to give off a reach. Okay, getting ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow, Ashkenazim are going to learn Shir Hashirim. You get to do it every Erev Shabbos. So the pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, "Hadudaim natnu reach." Elu bachurei Yisrael shalotamu tamchet. It's a reference to bachurei Yisrael who never sin. Va'al pischenu kol megadim. I must sound terrible at the Shir Hashirim. So the elu benos Yisrael shem megidos pischem labaleim. So one pshat in this pasuk is it's a reference to benos Yisrael who tell their husbands when they're in nida when they're not in nida. Lishna achrina she ogdos pischem labaleim, or they secure themselves for their husbands. They're with infidelity to their husbands. Chadashim gam yishanim dodit safanti lach. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim continues. Both new and old dodit safanti lach, I've hidden something for you. Amar kenes yisol ofnei kosh baruch hu benosho olam har beg zeres gazarti alatzmi yosi mima shegazarti alai vikiyam tim. We say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we, enacted more gzeros upon us than you acted upon us, and we fulfill those gzeros. The Gemara over here is understanding that the pasuk in Shir Hashirim is a mashal to the gzeros de Rabbanan, which we accepted upon ourselves as part of the relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not only were we the gzeros, we also kept them as well. Rav Chista said to a person who was collecting a garata, Mishmi alach chadashim gam yishenim mahu, this pasuk in Shir Hashirim that speaks to new and old, meaning there are new aspects to the Torah as well as old aspects to the Torah. What does that mean? What's new? What's old? So mahu amar lei elu mitzvos kalav elu mitzvos chamuros. So the first pshat that this person gave in front of Rav Chista was, well, maybe chadashim yishanim, one's referring to the really light mitzvos and the other one's referring to the really heavy mitzvos. And you tell me, by the way, I'm not being flippant, which one, in this pshat, which Rav Chista is going to end up rejecting, which one's chadashim, which one yishanim? I don't know. Okay. I don't know which... In this Havamin, I don't know which one... Maybe the Yeshanim refers to the heavier ones. Okay, maybe. Amalei. V'chitar pamim pamim nitna. So the Gemara says, that can't be the pshat. The Torah wasn't given in stages. The Torah is one unified body. So you can't say that, well, the lighter mitzvahs and the heavier mitzvahs, one's old and one's new. You can't say that. Ela, halalu midivrei Torah v'halalu midivrei Sofrim. The shot, which I kind of figured we all knew where we were going, is that the Yeshanim, that's referring to the mitzvot Torah. The Chadashim, divrei Sofrim. Any of the enactments made by the Chachamim. Darish Rava Mai Dichsev Yoser Mehema B'nei Hizaher Asos Sfarim Harbei. The pasuk in Mishlei, the Gemara now is going to explain. B'nei He's here, but divrei sofrim yosem and divrei Torah should be more careful about divrei sofrim than you should be about divrei Torah. Should divrei Torah yesh bem asos velo ase velo sase? When it comes to divrei Torah, so there are positive commandments or negative commandments. The divrei sofrim kol haover al divrei sofrim chayiv misa. But when it comes to divrei sofrim, so there's no separation between positive commandments, negative commandments. Every one of the divrei sofrim, any violation of divrei sofrim, results in chiyuv misa. Misa, of course, here means misa b'dei shamayim, but still misa. Shema tamar yimesh b'hem mamash mimnei malo nichtavu. So then maybe you'll try to create the following argument. Okay, if they're so important, why were they part and parcel of Torah shebechsav? Why were they only introduced later? Amakra. Asos farim harbei ain't kates. Well, that's because every time the chachamim make a takana, they're being mekayim the mitzvah, the idea, the inyan of asos farim harbei. We have to make more legislation, more sfarim. So that's why there are takanas chachamim. The lag harbei yigios basar. The Gemara goes and continues in Kohelas. The Shlomo describes how he put so much effort and energy into trying to understand. Amar Rav Papa Berei Derav Acha Bar Adam Mishmei Derav Acha Bar Ula Malam Mishkol HaMalig Al Divrei Chachamim Nidom B'tzor Rosachas. One shot in this pasuk in Kohelas is that if you make fun of, if you ridicule Divrei Chachamim, so the punishment will be burning in excrement. Maskif La, which by the way in the pasuk, that's Yigias Basa. Basa over here is an allusion to Tzor Rosechas. Maskif La Rava, Miksiv La'ag, Lahag Ksiv. So Rava says, I don't think that's Pshan the pasuk. Not that he necessarily disagrees, but the idea, but that's certainly not Pshan the pasuk. It doesn't say La'ag with an ayin, it says Lahag from the word Hege. So Ksiv, Ela Kol Ha'hoge Bahen, Tom Tom Basa. Meaning if you try to understand and apply yourself, and not just say over the takana de chachamim, but give some sort of understanding to the takanas chachamim, so your tongue to embuster, that eventually you're going to taste the taste of meat, meaning you will be rewarded for an attempted understanding of the gzeres de rabbanan. Right, I heard over in the name of the Rav, that somebody asked the Rav, instead of learning, right, we're learning Erevin right now. Most of what we're learning is Dine de Rabbanan. right? We're not learning any of the mitzvahs of the Torah, all right? We spent already 20 days, and we'll be spending the next number of months learning Dine Derabanan. Is that a kiyum in Talmud Torah? And the Rav said, yeah, absolutely, of course. And right, any time you learn Torah from any aspect, both from the mitzvahs of Torah and from the gzeros Derabanan, so that's the level of kiyum, that's Talmud Torah, as much Talmud Torah. There, it's an equal amount. And the Gemara over here definitely speaks to that idea. Tanur Abban, the Gemara continues, Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva shaya chavash b'veis ha'asurim. Gemara tells a story with Rabbi Akiva. He was in prison. V'haya Rabbi Yoshua ha'garsi mishartho. And Rabbi Yoshua was serving him. B'chol v'yom v'yom ha'machnisim lo mayim b'mida. And every day he would bring Rabbi Akiva water. V'yom echad matzu shomer b'veis ha'asurim amr lo hayom me'mecha merubim. So the guard said to Rabbi Akiva's attendant, you know, today, that's a lot of water you're bringing. Why are you bringing so much water? Shema lachter beis asurim atav sarich. So I'm a little bit concerned. Maybe he wants to spill the water on the ground, soften the ground. And maybe Rabbi Akiva wants to dig out of jail. So shafa chatzian v'naslo chatzian. So what the guard did is he poured out half the water. So now what Rabbi Akiva usually gets a certain ration of water, and today he got less. Kishabai, so Rabbi Akiva amar lo Yoshua ina teyodea, shezakin ani v'chaye tluim b'chayecha. And Rabbi Akiva was upset. And he says to Rabbi Yoshua, you know, I'm an old man. I'm depending on you for water. You can't do this. You can't come with just a half a ration. Sachlo kol osa hama'ora. Rabbi Yoshua explained to him what happened. Amar lo tainli mayim she'atol yadi. Or Yadai, I should read. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, but let's do the following, meaning, I know you're coming with less than my normal ration of water, but I got to wash my hands until I say daim. There's a mitzvah derabanan before you eat bread, you got to wash your hands until I say daim. So I'm a low, lishtos ein megin, lito yadecha megin. So I didn't even bring you enough to drink, and now you want to do the mitzvah until I say daim? Amar lo ma easeh. So Rabbi Akiva says, well, what do you expect from me? Shechayav malei amisa. If I don't wash my hands, that's a violation of Minister de Rabbanan. That's a chiyav misa. Mutav amus misas atzmi velo avor al das chevei. Meaning, I'll die a natural death, but I will not violate the words of my friends. Okay, now, again, you want to try to put this into some sort of system of law that we already know. Meaning, if it's pikuach nefesh, you know you're allowed to violate Isuri Torah over pikuach nefesh. It's fair to argue. Not only fair to argue, it's yeah, right. It's correct. It's more than fair to argue that even for Isuri Derabanan, you should also supposed to violate Isuri Derabanan for pikuach nefesh for soldiers. Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. I was just trying to fit it into what we know. But okay, Amru lo tam klum ashehevi lo mayim v'natal yadav, and so v'kal chaya. Meaning, and I guess what you'll say over here is that it's not real pikuach nefesh. Meaning, he'll be weaker, but he won't die. Okay, it's worth a discussion. But so he didn't taste anything until they brought him mayim v'natal yadav kishashamu chachamim b'davar. Now the chachamim heard. Meaning that's pretty religious. Meaning, with limited water and today less than he normally has, he still did the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. Amru ma bezignoso kach bialduso alachas kama v'kama. Now, if he's doing that as an old man, can you imagine when he had strength and vigor, how he was mekayim Torah? And ma bebeis asurim kach shalom bebeis asurim alachas kama v'kama. And if that's the way he behaves while in jail, so imagine outside of jail, he was that much more careful about mitzvahs of the Torah. Now the Gemara over here says that the mitzvah of Erevin, meaning our Masechta, and the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, which we just got done learning in terms of Rabbi Akiva, so there are obviously the mitzvahs de Rabbanan, rabbinic legislation, but old rabbinic legislation. Going back to Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech was the one who was Mesakein Erevin, and Netilas Yadayim. So Yasa Baskal Ve'amra, and Shlomo HaMelech received approbation, divine approbation. Bini im chacham libech yismach ligi libi gamani. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm happy. V'yomer chacham b'ni v'samech libi v'ashiva charpi davar. Interesting, Tosfos points out that Shlomo HaMelech produced other takanas as well. And our Gemara makes it sound like only two are attributed to Shlomo HaMelech, but if you look at Tosfos, notably the last Tosfos, Tosfos writes, Shlomo Erevin Metilas Adayim Alpha gav de tikenami shnios, the Gemara in Yevamos, which describes that there is family prohibitions, family relationship prohibitions, right? A man can't be with his mother, his daughter, his sister, his aunt, right? See Achremos, see Kedoshim. We're coming on to those parshios pretty shortly. So in addition to that, the Chachamim also gave extended family members as well Arias status. It's what's called Shnios. That's the Gemara in Yevamos, and the Gemara in Yevamos tells us who was Mesakin, that Gzera de Rabbanan, Shlomo HaMelech. So Tosfos points out that there were other Gzeras that were also enacted by Shlomo as well, not just these two. Tosfos then makes the argument these two came as a tandem. Interesting. Somehow we'll, maybe someone will suggest why these two came as a tandem. But anyway, Darish Rav Amai Dichsiv. Just let's do a little bit more for today. Okay, more preparation for tomorrow's Shir HaShirim. So the Pasuk says, let's go out to the field, let's go out and lie down in the villages. We'll get up early in the morning to go out to the vineyard. We'll see if there was a sprouting of the vineyard. Pitach hasmadar heinatsu, a blossoming of the vineyard. Harimonim sham, the pomegranates, the tenis todilacha. And now the Gemara is going to go through these psukim step by step and darshan these psukim. So we say to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, al tadineni ki yoshvei karachim. In other words, when you judge us, don't look over at the city. Don't put us in the context of the city. Sheish man gezov arayos. It's rough life in the city. It's wild in the city. There's theft. There's arayos. Okay, not a whole lot has changed in the last 2,000 years. You notice that also. Ushvu shav, ushvu sheker. Neitze hasadeh. Bavarecha tamid chacham mishoskim b'torah mitoch adchak. Meaning, go out to the field, look at the tamid chachamim who are learning Torah, and they're impoverished, and they're still learning Torah, and judge us in that context. Na'alina b'kfarim, altikre b'kfarim, ela b'kofrim. Bavarecha tam sheyipashto lahem tova. People who are deniers of you, even though you gave them so much good. The vineyards being described over here as the base medrash and the shuls. Psach pitachas madar elu bale mishna heinatsu harimonim elu bale gemara. Shamatein is dodi lach. There, I'm going to give my love to you. Erech kvodi gedoli shibech b'nei v'nosai. Right, the greatness and the praise of my sons and my daughters. Okay, I'm a last one of today. I'm Rav Amnon Ma'idichsi v'idaber shloshes alafim mashal v'hishiro chamisha ve'elef. The pasuk in Malachim describes how Shlomo HaMelech gave over 3,000 mashalim and 1,005. Songs. Malami Shamar Shlomo Al Kol Davar V'Davar Shel Torah Shloshes Alafim Mashal. For every matter of the Torah, Shlomo HaMelech gave 3,000 Mashalim, and Al Kol Davar V'Davar Shel Sofrim Chamisha Ve'Elef Tamim. And every rabbinic enactment, he gave 1,005 explanations for every one of the rabbinic enactments. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the remainder of the Gadatza. Tomorrow Shabbos, right? I'm still here. Okay, so tomorrow Shabbos, Chol Hamoed Shabbos, we will be meeting between Mincha Maariv, finishing up the Agadita, going into a little bit more halacha for tomorrow. Okay, today what did we cover? We covered Dav Chafaf in Erevin. We spoke about the limitation of Pasei Be'eros to only Ola Regalim, those learning Torah in yeshivas. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, maybe it only applies to Bavel, but according to the other version of the Gemara, not even to Bavel. We spoke a little bit about Borgenin and extending Tchumim, and then we went on to discuss Agadita, but within the Agadita, discussing the importance and the significance of Takanas D'Rabbanan. Okay, we'll stop over here.